in the book of John, Gospel of John, but we skipped ahead a little bit because there is an account of the triumphal entry, but it wasn't the next one we were going to look at. So I jumped ahead to John 12, 12 through 19, and we will cover that today. Let's hear the inspired word of the living God. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees, and they went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey who sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And may God add his blessing to the hearing of this portion of his word. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, you are the one that is able to take these words and apply them to our lives and give us understanding. The one who points to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray now that you would give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an important day. This one begins the week we call Holy Week, which all of human history points to. From the beginning of time to that week, and from the from now to the end of time, everything points to that one transaction. It is started off by Jesus riding in on a colt, and it ends up with him raising from the dead. But in between is the one transaction that he made. It was the one-time payment for sin. It's the only payment that matters that he transacted on that fateful day. When we look at Jesus riding in on Sunday, he fulfills a lot of prophecy in this one day. A lot of things line up, things that were forecast from 2,000 to 3,000 years before him. It goes way back. All of the prophets were pointing to this time and in this one act. One of them is mentioned in the passage that we read, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming." So the one riding on a donkey is the king. And now here in this portion, Jesus is the one riding on the donkey. The king is coming. He's quoting Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, which 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the king is coming, but he also has salvation. The two things, we have a hard time reconciling them. But other things line up because he is the king, but he is coming on a date certain. The prophet Daniel predicted Daniel 9:24. He said, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet and to anoint the most holy place. And that is exactly what Christ does. He is the one, and the time this went forward lines up with the time Jesus is walking in. It is also a lineage certain. Not anybody can be the king because it has to meet other requirements. The king has to be a direct descendant of King David. Well, Jesus' mother, Mary, is a direct descendant of King David through her son, through Nathan. And Jesus' adopted father is a direct descendant of David through Solomon. And so both sides, the legal side and the bloodline, both are direct descendants of King David. So he meets that criteria. Then there's the statement about the gate. In Ezekiel 44, 1 through 2, then a man brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, the one facing east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, this gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it. And that is the gate Jesus came through on Palm Sunday. And that is the gate, if you go visit Jerusalem now, that is a slab of rock because it has been sealed up. It has been shut. So Jesus was coming through the gate that was predicted. And then there is Jacob's blessing. When Jacob was blessing his 12 sons, he blessed his son Judah with the following blessing. He said, the scepter or the authority shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes to him. And even though Israel was taken into captivity, the bloodline, the ruling time, did not depart until Jesus comes. And now that he has risen from the dead, he is king forever. He fulfills that. But listen to the next verse in Genesis 49, verse 11. Binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he has washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. So here is Jacob blessing Judah and looking forward to this day when Jesus would ride into Jerusalem with a colt. And then there's the matter of the palm branches. Since the time of Solomon, they have used that to pave the way when they would anoint a king. In 1 Kings 1, 32 through 36, the king said to them, take with you the servants of your Lord and have Solomon, my son, ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. And during this time, there were palm branches. And it was a festive time. And that is the way you install kings. There is an expression in Israel that when a king comes on a donkey, he is coming in peace. But when a king comes on a horse, he is to make war. Well, Jesus is coming on a donkey to make peace. He says, when he comes, he rides on a donkey. But when we look ahead to the next time we will see him, the last book of the Bible, Revelation 19, I'll read it to you. Then I saw heaven opening, and behold, a white horse. the one sitting on it was faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which he strikes down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he first comes, he comes on a donkey offering terms of peace. The next time you see him, he will be on a white horse. Blessed are those who make peace while it is being offered before they meet him on the white horse. And then there is the song that's being sung as they walk in, as Jesus walks in. Psalm 118. Now that is the last one of a collection from Psalm 113 through 118. Are a collection called the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. These are the psalms that they've been singing at Passover time since there was a Passover. These are what they sing. It's how you do Passover. You sing this collection of songs because they refer back to the time in Egypt. And initially, Passover was what delivered the Egyptians from Egypt. He told the head of household to take an unblemished lamb and slay it and put the blood on the doorpost, and when the angel of death saw the blood, he would pass over. And they had been singing these psalms since then, and this was also the last song Jesus heard before he went to the cross, because when he was observing the Last Supper, that is the last song they sing. And how do we know that this was the psalm we were singing? You went and we heard it read, that the crowd was singing, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And when we went through it as the responsive reading, you never heard those words. Well, that's because you were reading them in English. Let me, Psalm 118, 25 through 26. Here's what you read. Blessed, Hosanna, save us. No, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Israel. Now hear it the way they sang it, in the language they sang it. They sang, Hoshiana Hatzlichana, Baruch Haba Bashem Adonai. Hoshiana is save us. It's also the same word, it's the same family as Jesus' name. The word Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation. So the one coming in is named salvation in addition to being the king. Hoshiana or Hosanna, Hatzlihana, give us success. Baruch Haba Bashem Adonai. Now, when we read it in English, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, we don't address each other like that. I don't say, blessed is he who comes in the name of John, or blessed is he who comes in the name of Rodney. We say, welcome, John. Welcome, Rodney. Now, in the Hebrew language, Baruch Haba is the way they say welcome. Baruch Haba. If you go to Tel Aviv Airport, you'll see a big sign that says Baruch Haba, and it means welcome. So they are singing welcome, and the one who comes in the name of the Lord is Jesus. Welcome, Jesus. So he refers to this in the account in Matthew. He was in Jerusalem, and he is giving his words over Jerusalem before he is crucified. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones the ones who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left desolate to you, desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that is exactly what they are singing when he walks in, as recorded in the Gospel of John. Now, he is the king. He meets all of the criteria for being a king coming in, but he is also the Savior, because he is coming for Passover, and Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Passover Thursday, 4 days, also is specified in Scripture. In Exodus 12:3, it says, on the 10th day of the first month, every man was to select a lamb that would be the right size for his household to eat. The lamb had to be a year old male without blemish or defect. The family would then keep the lamb until the 14th day. You picked out the lamb, and the lamb came to live in your house for 4 days. And the kids played with the lamb. It was the new pet. They were curly. They were cuddly. You could love on them. They were but then on the 14th day, you had to take this lamb, and you had to take it out and slay it, and you had to cook it and eat it before sunup, you and all of your household. And that is a picture of what the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, his precious son, he had to be the one to slay his own son. And so the day Jesus was riding in on Palm Sunday was also known as Lamb Selection Day. And while everybody else was selecting their lamb, God had already selected his. And he was the one coming in. He was the lamb, the select lamb. He is the king, but he is the one. While everybody else was, it was a festive day. It's kind of like when you go out and pick your turkey for Thanksgiving. You get ready for the big feed. This was what this was all about. And yet Jesus was the one selected. All the pilgrims were anxiously making their way into the city to pick the lamb for the flocks that the Sadducees had bred and raised for this occasion. Everybody was coming to Passover, but Jesus was coming to be Passover. He is our Passover. It is his blood that is applied to our lives. And when the angel of death sees the blood, he will pass over. He is the one that went and God offered up in our place. He is the one that is in view when Jesus is riding in. He came in as king, but there was first a transaction. that he had to pay for his kingdom. He had to purchase everyone that he would rule and reign over with his own blood. And that's what this week is all about. May we pray. Father, we often come to Christianity and we think it's warm and cuddly, and that you're this cosmic grandfather that wouldn't even hurt a fly. But we don't understand the depth of your love. What you did for us is amazing. And salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It cost you your most precious one. And I pray that we would come in that measure of reverence as we see what it is that you've done. May we pray. Father, Lord, we stand in awe that people such as us could have fellowship with a holy God such as you, and yet you did it in the most amazing way. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.